Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broad Wasted podcast, where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and today we're a million miles away and one jump ahead. It's a whole new world with high adventure outside these palace walls. A friend like me, nor Prince Ali, wouldn't steer you wrong, so that now you can be proud of your boy. Somebody's got your back. Joining us today are the usual diamonds in the rough, including Kevin Be Yourself Jaeger.
Good one, I love that.
You're welcome. Kimberly, our game master and unofficial babysitter for the hour.
Yes, hello.
And with us today is our first individual Tony-winning guest.
Woo, Tony.
I actually wrote in, Tony.
It's like we've spoken before.
I know, right?
Yes.
He made his Broadway debut in Spelling Bee. Hopefully you saw him as Bobby in the awesome Memphis. And of course, he's the Tony-winning genie in Disney's Aladdin. Let's give a big Broadway-sted welcome to friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
James Monroe Iglehart.
Woo! Glad to be here, guys. Thank you very much.
Oh, of course. Welcome. Cheers.
Yes,
cheers.
Definitely. Gotta make eye contact.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry. This cup is a square, so it's a little...
It's a little tough right now. But you can follow him, his full name, or James M. Iglehart, on Twitter and Instagram.
Yes.
And let's just start with, what are you drinking?
What are you drinking? It's actually minor today, though.
Oh, that's true.
What are you drinking?
So today we're doing a little bit differently. I have Gatorade. I'm getting my electrolytes back.
It was a three-day weekend. Brian went a little ham. I discovered Stranger Things last night. I'm always like the last person to get on every boat.
Okay.
So I watched like 6 or 7 episodes and drank wine the whole time.
Nice.
So I'm drinking just regular Coke just to get myself back awake so I can watch the rest of Stranger Things. No spoiler alerts.
Oh, that's funny.
Kimberly?
I have diet ginger ale because I'm getting married in 2 months. But at my bridal shower yesterday, I got a gift that I'm making a podcast gift. I got a barrel, like an oak barrel, to age cocktails in.
Whoa.
And so I'm going to start making barrel-aged, like, Manhattans and Negronis. And
for us?
Yeah, yes. It'll be at my house.
Oh, this is great.
Like, it's a little barrel that has that's a tap amazing. On it.
Yeah.
And it says Kimberly and Jay's, like, Schmidt Distillery.
That's pretty
it's
cool.
Really
you scratch
cool.
it off and say Broadway thing. We'll just put a sticker over it.
No, it is an adorable wedding gift.
Oh, beautiful.
That I'm using now.
If anybody's seen the show, they know how ridiculous I act. So I don't need any outside substances to help me. I'm afraid of what might happen. So I'm drinking water. I know that's really boring.
No, it's okay.
But I'm always afraid that, you know, it's going to be like, oh, Tony Award winning genie, 295 pounds, falls on small white person outside while being drunk after a show. I'm always like, oh,
we love you, genie. I love you, tail. Bam!
Beloved Disney character.
Beloved Disney character squashes small white person at the end.
But I did bring my little bottle of Balvenie, just as kind of like to have here.
Yeah, so you
it's
just
a very cute
glass.
Yeah, it's actually
that's nice.
It's a super. I won it at a Scotch tasting, so it's actually a like it's a
like
aged,
a legit Scotch flask.
Yeah, it's a legit Scotch flask, and the cool thing about it is that Balvenie doesn't produce this, and they don't make it anymore. Yeah. So it's
see, it looks like one drop though. I mean,
like, I feel like right? it should say drink me on it.
Yeah,
actually,
yes.
Actually,
yes.
Ariel's voice is in here.
Right.
I was gonna say it looks like it's from Narnia.
Yeah, yes. Right. It's like really hot in here, right?
It is quite warm.
It's because
yeah.
I'm here.
Oh, yeah.
He brings the heat.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys have seen my picture. I'm gorgeous.
I just get
more gorgeous the soberer you get. I'm like that guy who goes backwards. Like, you know, you get to see the ugly girl, and she gets cuter the more you drink.
Yeah.
I'm the opposite. The more you get sober, the more gorgeous I become.
I feel like that's what you want.
So you would hope.
Yeah.
That's why I'm married. God knew exactly what he was doing. He said, he's so gorgeous, he must be taken.
It'd be a danger.
It's a danger to all of Broadway if he was single. Nothing is cuter than a baritone with no abs.
I'll say that's pretty hot.
Kevin,
sign me up.
I guess let's let's start with what have you seen this week?
What have you seen this week?
What have you seen this week? Because I didn't see anything.
Did you see something, Kevin?
Wait, what did
Holiday
I...
Holiday
Inn. I watched Holiday Inn.
Oh,
I
yeah.
I got to watch Holiday Inn. Broadway HD did a live showing of Holiday Inn, and I had so much fun. Like, it literally harkened me back to, like, watching, like, White Christmas and, like, all those kind of classical movies where, like, the hijinks happen and how are they going to get out of it? And then they just do by singing. it was really wonderful. The performances were great. I really loved, Corbin Bleu brought up some, like, serious tap skills.
Seriously.
And it was just, like...
I really wanted to see it because Holiday Inn is one of my favorite movies.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
I just, because of our schedule, I wasn't able to check it out. Yeah. So I'm hoping that I can watch it on Broadway HD because I have it. I love Broadway HD, by the way.
It's wonderful.
So awesome. I'm really hoping, I know it's streamed, I'm hoping that they keep it on, like, at least for, like, a month.
I think
so
they
I
said they were going to. I'm pretty sure that it was in part of the thing that they talked about that it would be on for
Yeah,
bit.
They okay. tweeted
like
about
she
it.
Loves Me, Dick.
Yeah,
yeah. Right. She Loves Me is now available on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I saw that too, and that was good.
It was really good.
I love Zachary Levi.
It was so
he's
fun.
As I said on my Twitter, he's a nice associate of mine. We're not best friends, but we know each other. He knows my name.
That's
really cool.
Chuck knows your name. That's good
yes,
enough for me.
That's right. That's really.
But yeah, all the performances were great. It was super fun. I live tweeted the whole thing. It was fun live tweeting to see like. The other people who were watching it too, and it was just really fun. It was a great, great show.
Nice, yeah.
James. Have you seen anything lately?
You know, it's been really hard to see live theater lately. So because of my schedule. So
yeah.
I got to see one. I'm a part of SAG, so I got to see one of my SAG films.
Oh, but
I didn't see. I got to see Arrival.
Oh,
yeah.
So good.
I got to see Arrival.
What excited me about Arrival even more than the movie itself is that with. You know, what's to come potentially. Always during divisive times, sci-fi movies step forward and have a different voice
Very
to them.
Yes.
Like in the 50s, there was a different type of sci-fi movie than the 60s. And I'm really excited to see what sci-fi movies come from everybody's, being on the opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah,
that's what I'm super excited
for. I'm looking forward to because I'm a huge, my wife and I are huge Twilight Zone fans.
What's your favorite Twilight Zone episode?
Okay, I have two. I have
Great.
Two very important ones.
finish your thought first and then we'll go into that.
But it's always funny because Twilight Zone predicted pretty much everything that's happening now.
Yeah.
And it's kind of fun to watch. Like everything that Rod said, not in like, oh my God, pig people are coming, but the fact that everything that the humankind will do with new technology, they're always going to find a way to go, wow, this is here to help the world. Now let's find a way to jack it up.
Yeah.
You know, it's the way it is. My favorite two Twilight Zones are Mr. Wordsworth. It's the librarian. It's
It's
the one with Burgess Meredith.
Oh,
I love that because it's basically taking a person, a group of people, the order,
it's called The Obsolete Man.
The Obsolete Man, yes. And I love
I did not look that up. I
love
knew that.
The Obsolete Man, because he goes, everything is obsolete. I love that because I love the fact that he says, I'm a librarian. And he goes, we don't need librarians' words, Mr. Wordsworth. This great acting. And also the fact that this group of people they took everything from the Nazis or from racism, whatever, and still tried to make a pure type of race, and it still didn't work because there's always someone who's going to stand up. My other favorite one.
That's such a good. I got goosebumps. I love that episode.
That's one of my favorite. My other favorite one is Little Girl Lost.
Which one's that?
Little Girl Lost is where this couple is sleeping and they hear their daughter. And she's had a nightmare. And then they go into the room and they can't find her because she's gone into the fourth dimension.
Yes.
Oh, no.
What I love about this episode isn't the fact that she's gone into the fourth dimension. I love a one problematic little plot point.
Yes.
They walk into the room. They can't find their daughter. They look under the bed. They look over the bed. They look at all the rooms. Can't find her. And the wife, of course, is overacting because it's the 60s. Like, what are we going to do, Johnny? What are we going to do? And he goes, don't worry, don't worry. I've called Bob. He's a physicist. Your daughter is gone. And you, the first person you thought to call was a physicist. Not the police. Not a private investigator. Not even the fire department. You call Bob the physicist.
That's amazing.
And then what's great is...
Cheers to Bob the physicist. He really knows how to market himself.
Seriously. And what's really great about it is after the episode, after they find the young girl, Rod Serling says, After they found the young lady, over 10 physicists came to check out the room. You still didn't call the police? Your child disappeared through a wall, and you still didn't call them. We should probably register that this house has a problem. Yeah. That if you play volleyball in this portion, or if you play pool, if you play ping pong in this version of the house, you might not just use the ball. You might lose your life. But no. We called Bob the physicist. My wife and I want to make a shirt that just goes, stop, everything's fine. I called the physicist. I lost my keys. Don't worry about
physicists.
That.
That's insane.
Who knows the physicist?
Who knows 10 physicists?
Any physicist. Hey, just man, you listen, bro. I lost my keys. Just get over here. You're a physicist, right? Let's do this.
I really can't find them.
Every year we watch it.
New Year's Eve?
On sci-fi. Yeah. New Year's Eve. Oh, and also 4th of July.
They do 4th of July as well?
Yes, 4th of July.
My favorite, I always look for the Night Caller.
Oh.
I've seen that one.
So the night caller is about this old woman mm-hmm. who was paralyzed in a car accident in which her fiance was killed.
Yes.
And she starts getting phone calls on their like anniversary of the accident, and she's all old and crotchety, and like it's just like this Mary or whatever, and she's like stop calling, I don't know who this is, stop calling, and then if she finds that she figures out one way or the other that it's her fiance calling from the dead. And she's like, because she goes to visit the grave, and she sees that the telephone wire was down, and it's in the grave. And at the end, he calls back, and he's like, "Ah, you told me never to call. I won't call, but I'll leave you alone. I won't call again." And she like loses it, and it's my favorite. Ugh. Now you don't have to watch it because I told you all about
Thanks.
It.
That's spooky.
Yeah, that's creepy.
I love the Twilight Zone. So good. I've literally watched almost every episode there is, especially because Hulu has all of them.
Yeah. Have you watched Black Mirror?
No, and everybody keeps telling me I need to watch it because they say if you like Twilight Zone, you should watch Black
Absolutely.
Mirror.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Very similar, especially the like technology affecting everything.
Yeah, I have. We have a moment in the show where we do High Adventure. And, mm-hmm. What you don't see is Aladdin and I getting ready to go into our next scene. And all the guys are on stage, his three best friends are fighting mm-hmm. with the guards. Mm-hmm. And one of our guards came by one day and said, "My mind is just messed up, man. I watched Black Mirror. I just don't know whether I should throw my computer away, my phone away, or anything." And he runs on stage and goes to sing. And I looked at Adam and I was like, "You watch Black Mirror?" He said, "No." I said, "No, but I think we should." If you can freak out a dude that badly, then he has to talk about it in the middle of it. Like, he's in mid-sentence. He's like, hi. I got to put away my phone, man. You're like, okay, this is a show we need to watch. I mean, you jack this dude's whole day up.
Yeah. Aladdin, Black Mirror has made the entire Aladdin cast paranoid.
Yeah. A couple of people were watching, like, "James, have you watched it yet?" I'm like, that look on your face says maybe I should wait till the show is over. Why are you watching this during the show?
That's amazing.
I watched the first two episodes and then I was like, I don't know that I can watch this.
Yeah, they're really great.
Okay.
I saw a great Comet of 1812.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Do tell, Brian. Do tell.
Sure. So,
on stage, off stage, where were you sitting?
So I was sitting in the mezzanine.
Okay.
Which actually, depending on what you like, I would actually very much suggest not sitting in the orchestra and not sitting on stage.
Because you're not a participator.
I keep hearing that.
Say that again?
I keep hearing that.
Because it's not even about the participation. Like, I wouldn't have minded at all if they asked me to participate. And it's minimal participation. I would have had an issue myself, like, turning my head back and forth to watch everything. Because they're all moving around you.
Mm.
And the cast is fantastic. Especially the ensemble. The ensemble, the energy that they have to put out there every single night, because they come out at first and they're like, "Hey, look in your playbill, because there's a family tree and you're going to need to know the family tree." And then they hand out dumplings. And then they like, oh, it's awesome. They like really create this like Russian atmosphere.
Well, if there's food.
Yeah. So that was super cool. I saw everybody. Nobody was out. So Groban and Danae Benton is
of Unreal.
What a voice. What a voice on her. And they really kept you engaged the whole time. The staging was incredible. And it never got to the point of kitsch. It never felt like it was just something fun. It really felt like it was very important to what was happening on stage.
Oh.
That was so cool. It was this weird mix of, 1800s Russia and contemporary songs and this, like, a little bit rock, a little bit of everything. Some of the individual songs were great. Groban has this awesome number in Act One. It's, I forget if
Anthem?
Yeah.
Throw Anthem in.
She has a great number.
You Raise Me Up?
Yeah. it's really good. The only thing I would say is that it, because it's an excerpt of War and Peace, it definitely feels like it's been stretched out in places. The most fun are some of the numbers that are just like everyone dancing, having a great time, which is so fun. But there's no plot point. It's like, look at this fun character gonna dance for 5 minutes. Boom, 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 boom. And it's, I mean, a smile on my face all the time.
Gonna dance for 5 minutes.
And it was awesome.
There needs to be a musical where you just do crap
there
like
really
that.
There really does, where you just admit that's what you're doing.
like the whole show stops. One character comes on and goes, "Hi, I have nothing to do with this. Gonna dance for 5 minutes." And then
I do it. That dude was awesome. Yeah.
And best supporting actor.
Best actor the award goes to.
Yeah.
Yeah. The producers asked for a tap number. Yeah. Here we go.
Here it is.
It's like when you watch Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, and there's that, like, waitress woman who has, like, three lines in the whole show.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden she has, like, this heartbreaking ballad, and you're like, why is she saying this?
There are moments in musicals that are so fun where you have that character who,
absolutely.
You're not needed, but you sing your face off at the audition, so they wrote something for you.
It's true.
It's Steam Heat and what's the other one?
Oh, God, yes.
The Mambo, Who Loves the Pain, when they do the Mambo, Who Loves the Pain, then they go.
And, like, Hernando's Hideaway.
Those are just
Fosse
numbers that are open act two because they're awesome.
Okay, so I did a version of, the Mambo. Why can't I think of the name
Damn
of the
Yankees?
Show? Damn Yankees. I did a version.
Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah, because Steam Heat is in Pajama Game. Right.
So we're doing Damn Yankees, and there are moments where I always laugh at certain costume designers because you want to, you know, we're in a regional theater now.
Yeah.
And you want to look at them and go, I want you to look at your entire cast before you put a stretchy shirt on everybody. Mm-hmm. Because some of us don't look good in a stretchy shirt with, you know, Desi Arnaz ruffles.
Probably low cut with some laces.
You're like, and so it's like all of these dancer boys, you know, skinny washboard. I go to the gym because I want the other guys to see how good I look. And then me and my homeboy, we're like, what is this? And every time I think of that song, I'm like, stupid ass shirt.
So on that note, yeah,
that's
go see
I
Comet.
See it.
It was awesome.
I was like, go see Damn Yankees.
Right, yeah.
I had no idea that I didn't want to know anything about the show before I saw it. I didn't know it was about a part of War and Peace. It's a chapter?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
And they make it work. I've never seen anything like it on Broadway. The way they destroyed the Imperial and rebuilt it. It really feels like you're somewhere special. They really create an environment. The lighting is awesome. The energy in there is incredible. I mean,
I keep hearing that the set is just so magnificent.
It's magnificent.
And I'm really hoping, not to segue, but I'm really hoping that because it goes out into the audience and does something like that, I'm hoping that another show that's coming out does something very similar. I am a huge fan of the book and both films of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when you have something like that, I am hoping that you immerse the entire theater in Willy Wonka's factory.
Well, have you walked past the theater?
No.
The whole facade is chocolate pipes. Of chocolate going through.
That's what it needs.
Awesome.
It needs to be there.
Yeah.
It needs to be there.
Like a little shinier maybe than Comet because you're going into sort of a fantasy world in Charlie. But
I mean, it's one of those
things
where, like,
you gotta capture that wonder.
Yeah,
for, like,
because
kids,
I mean,
and adults stuff like that. Because
if you've read it's interesting if you read the book of everything that happens in the Wonka Factory, and then you see the two films, and then just see it live. You know, I hate to say it, but when I first heard about how amazing the set was
for Comet,
I was like, okay, we've now upped the game. We have now upped the game for any other show that wants to do something that's such a mind-blowing story or a bigger-than-life story. Mm-hmm. Now the sets have got to be...
Yeah.
And I think you even see that on the TV, on the live ones.
Agreed.
Because NBC was doing the thing, and then Fox came along and, like, totally changed the game with that Grease set.
Baby, and let then, me tell you that I can honestly say, name dropping, know Tommy Kail very well. I texted that night. I was like, I hate you. I was like, that was amazing.
Yeah.
I'm like, because you gave, don't get me wrong, we were used to just watching. When I was a kid, we watched the video of Bernadette Peters just doing Into the Woods.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we were like, we were like, oh my God, the floor moves.
Yeah.
She's skipping to grandma's house, but the floor is moving. And then we saw, you know, then you saw Sound of Music, and then you saw Peter Pan, and you saw The Wiz, and you're like, oh my God, The Wiz, there's fireworks and shooting everything. And then Tommy came around, and you were like, yeah, we got multiple sets. We're going to be driving people in the golf carts.
That was insane.
I was like, this is nuts.
The dance in the gym sequence that they filmed is one of the most impressive things I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was really incredible.
But even just the Grease is the Word intro.
Yes!
Where they go through all the stuff. They're like, hey, this is what we're going to do. Get ready.
Oh, that was
like,
awesome.
Stop it. It's going to be
basically,
that one was boring, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was freaking brave. They're still like, umbrellas.
And Jessie K was like, I'm singing.
It was great.
Jessie K owned it.
Yeah, because it's one of those moments where you have to look at the situation and go, this, you have to grab them immediately. You have to, especially with everything that we have as far as entertainment now, musical theater has to grab people immediately.
Yeah.
And if they don't, people will just, you know, tune out. Because now we have so many movie films or, you know, taking
the channel, especially with a live show.
So you better be.
And also with, sorry to bring it up, but like, also with Hamilton, if someone can't get a ticket to Hamilton, you have to offer them something that's going to be an extraordinary experience for them to not wait for the ticket and see something right then and there.
Which is why Aladdin is such a wonderful show. I don't know if you guys know this, but there's a guy in it who wears a lot of sparkles who won a Tony. He's fabulous. It's magic to watch him. the things that he does. I hate to use the word magic, but he's so magical.
You actually still have a little bit of glitter on you.
It never goes away.
It never goes away. So you've been perpetually glittered for 2 years now.
I've been perpetually glittered for almost 6 years.
You've been with the show for 6 years?
We started the pilot production in 2011.
Oh.
I didn't realize you were with it that long, yeah.
And
also, right after you left Memphis?
No, I took a leave of absence from Memphis. I took a 3-month leave of absence from Memphis. Oh. Went to do Aladdin, came back, finished out Memphis. And then, okay, I'll say 5 years, because I took a year off and went back home and got myself ready for Aladdin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, we picked back up.
Glitter training.
Yes.
Very
so
good.
Avenue Q sends you to puppet camp. Disney sends you to glitter camp.
Yes. And it takes me a full 7 days of not being, like, a vacation being in the show the glitter to go away. So I always,
and then you're right back in.
Yeah, and then I'm right back in. So I'm like, I have the last day of the vacation. I'm like, I have no glitter on me at all. Then it's like, oh, I have to go back tomorrow. Okay.
You were in the recording of Memphis, though, right?
Oh, yes.
That's I saw Memphis twice. I love that show.
Thank you. I'm in the recording, and I'm in the film. The movie. The,
yeah.
Not the movie. Uh-huh. The movie. The one they recorded for PBS.
Yeah.
I have it on DVD.
All right.
She actually brings it up
a lot as
Memphis being one of the most fun she's had on a Broadway show.
It was also the most surprising thing, because it was something I won the lottery for when I was in college, and I was like, well, that's a $30 ticket. Let me go see this.
Memphis.
And I was like, this is so fun, but
Montego
also
Glover.
Montego Glover.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. It's funny. Memphis was a surprise because we really weren't supposed to be there. We came in when we got the... Everybody had been working really, really hard on the show for many, many years. I started with the show in 2004. Mm-hmm. We didn't get to Broadway until 2009.
Oh, wow.
So we were working on the show for a long time. The original cast of Chad Kimball, J. Bernard Calloway, Derek Baskin, Montego Glover, myself, and Kevin Colbert. We were with the show from the beginning. And that noise that you hear is the bomb that's about to go off.
Yeah.
And basically, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't see every Broadway show...
Because it's already
hot. What's happening up there?
You don't like, the heat is turning on up here, but...
The heat is on in this room. The heat is on in this room. Go see Miss Saigon. It's going to come out very soon.
Yeah. With friend of the show, Antoine L. Smith.
Yeah, yes. Announcing Antoine.
No, so Memphis was, you know, it was going to take, it was a long shot at working. I mean, we had a brand new writing team. We had no stars. And we were at the Schubert Theater. And we had a show that wasn't based on a movie. So we were up against what was supposed to be the juggernaut, Spider-Man, was coming in.
Mm.
We were also coming in against the Addams Family. We were also coming in.
Wow.
Green Day was there. And also,
yeah, they were.
We were up against another, we were also up against another show that no one knew what it was, but people knew the name was Fela Kuti. So it was Fela.
Uh-huh.
So you had Million Dollar Quartet.
Oh, I saw all of those. That was good in 2009.
Right, so you got all these shows, you know, are coming out. And literally, I mean, people were like looking at Memphis like, you know what? You have a nice, cute little show. Thank you for coming.
Yeah.
But once the big guys get here, you probably won't last that long.
Yeah.
And then a couple of things happened. Spider-Man didn't get up in time.
Mm-hmm.
Addams Family didn't do as well as they thought it was going to do.
Yeah.
Once the summer was over, Green Day, American Idiot didn't do very well because all the kids were gone.
Yeah.
You know, I was in the theater when I saw the old lady next to me going, I don't like that. Literally, she put her fingers in her ear because it was too loud.
Yeah.
I don't know what she thought she was going to go see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was like all these different shows that Memphis kind of came up because when they reviewed us and they were like, it's good. It's okay. I mean, there's some fun performances. But, I mean, haven't we rehashed this? I mean, the whole racial thing, this and that, blah, blah, blah. Then all the other shows came out. The Tony nominations came out. And they reviewed us again. And
we really?
And we had already won the Concierge Award. So all the hotels were telling people to come see Memphis.
Whoa.
So it wasn't really, I shouldn't say it was a review. It was like when they reviewed all the shows for the Tonys. What they said about us was completely different. They were like, what a wonderful show and such an uplifting making you. I was like, oh, you see the writing
now,
on the wall.
That's so interesting because, well, Eloise said something that people are going to see Cats because it's really, people love it, but it's only the only real dance show on Broadway right now. So like,
when
you want to see a dance show, like you look at the roster and boom, you're getting your tickets to Cats.
Yeah.
You know,
that's what Memphis was like. Oh, do I want a feel-good musical, or do I want, like, these five entities I've already heard of?
Yeah. And Memphis had everything from a good story, good music, good performers, as well as some wonderful dancing. Sergio Trujillo
put all
these people through craziness. So,
I mean,
just the first underground song. Every time I watch the choreography, I'm like, we're going to die.
you guys won.
Yeah, we won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We won. And here's the thing. From coming back from, you know, when we opened to, and when we opened in, like, I think we opened in October.
Yeah,
so we had to wait.
Fall.
We had to wait until to get, you know, get to June.
Yeah.
The fact that we won the first award of the night, we won best music. Then we won best score right after that.
Wow.
And then we came at the end and
then
won.
And then you waited the whole night. Yeah.
And then won best musical.
Wow.
So we got best book, best score, best orchestrations. We got those things back to back, and then we had to wait.
And your two leads were nominated.
Chad Kimball as well as Montego Glover. So
did you guys see Memphis?
No,
I mean I watched the PDFs broadcast.
Oh,
I think it's on Netflix.
I didn't see live.
I think
it's on
Netflix, but it's
or it's at my house.
Yeah,
come on.
No, it's on DVD and it's also on Broadway HD.
Yep.
And I think it's on Hulu as well. So
cool. So go see Comet.
Yes, go see Comet. It's wonderful.
Actually, let's play a game and then we'll ask some questions.
Sure, sounds good.
Yeah.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFF's creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFF's The Original New Musical from Shayna Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
This game requires some participation.
Ooh,
yay!
Participation.
We're going to play plot points.
Plot points!
So, this is going to be played before.
That was good. That was good. I like
basically, what I need from you before I explain the game is for you each to give me two of your favorite Disney songs.
Just Around the River Bend.
I know my two favorites, but I'm trying to think of like something like
right.
You know, you like
Honesty.
My go-to karaoke song is always "A Whole New World," so I gotta.
I love you for that. I love you for that.
That's how you get girls. You're just like, hey you want to sing "A Whole New World" with me?
Why should I worry?
Oliver.
Yeah,
Oliver.
Why should I worry?
That's Billy Joel, baby.
Yes.
That's
great.
The only
so
dog
I was going to say Perfect Isn't Easy from...
The only dog walking around with sunglasses.
I'm going to go with...
They don't have ears that cut loud.
And they fit, and unfortunately, the way his fit, they fit under. So his ears go this way, they fit this way. You're like, how do they fit on your head?
He's just that cool, guys.
Right?
I'm going to go with Eye to Eye.
Yes. Ooh, from the Goofy movie.
Goofy movie.
Oh, yes, Tevin Campbell.
Tevin Campbell, a guest star on Family Matters for an episode.
Oh, my God, yes.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, me too?
Yes.
Okay, it will be my number one, When You Wish Upon a Star.
Oh, good one.
I sing that in my show. My cabaret show, which is going to be in JPEG on January 28th and also be in California Walnut Creek February 3rd. And I guess my other one would be, I'm trying to think of... The one I bother my wife with the most is... No, I won't do that. I'll just say... I really like Bear Necessities.
Oh, good one. Did you like the new Jungle Book movie?
I did. I really enjoyed
it. Me too.
I really, really enjoyed it.
All right. Plot points. I have one pile of Disney movies. And I have one pile of your favorite Disney songs. You'll pick a piece of paper from each pile... Describe the Disney movie to the tune of the song that you've drawn.
Got it.
Okay.
And we all have to guess.
Got it.
Sound good? Anyone want to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Great. Wow, that'll be fun. These are two sisters. One has powers, the other doesn't. Their parent was killed and...
It's Frozen to A Whole New World.
Thank you.
That's so good.
Brian, you go.
Okay. He shunned an old maid. She made him ugly. Then she came
Beauty
to...
Beauty
Beast. Yep.
There you go. Why should I worry?
Too much. Why should I worry?
She's an old maid.
Yeah, I guess.
That's a great new tune. He shunned an old maid. That's a great... All the Disney... They do a Disney soundtrack of that. We're going to take the new songs and just do different stories with it and see if you can guess. I like it.
You started from the beginning.
That was nice.
I started from the top. I was ready to go the whole thing if you couldn't get it. With the 16 bars that I knew. Yeah.
All right. What I like most about daughters is they can grow up and kill the Hun.
Mulan to Once Around the Riverbend.
Yeah. Yes, Just Around the Riverbend.
Just Around the Riverbend.
What is Around the Riverbend?
They never found out, you know.
They just give up. They literally gave up.
She
gives this beautiful song, and then they're like, we don't care anymore.
Okay. He was just Zeus's kid.
Well, it's Hercules.
To Eye to Eye?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
If we listen to each other, we'll find we're never too far apart.
What was the other one?
The other one is
Stay It Out
from the Captain. If you're gonna shout out loud, so not as oh, I know that movie. That's my Hangover movie, actually. Goofy movie is my Hangover movie.
I have a very strong connection to the Goofy movie. I'm one of those actors who has daddy issues, and so one day I was sick. I was just home. I think it was in between shows or whatever, and I was, this is many years ago, I was watching, it was on Disney Channel.
Yeah.
My wife wasn't home, I was just sitting at home with the cat, and I'm watching the Goofy movie, and by the end, I am bawling. I mean, by the time they're fishing and they're talking to each other,
the perfect cast.
I was like, and I got called dead. Look at us, we're like Goofy and Max. He's like, this boy's been drinking. And you know how I don't drink. He's like, something's wrong with that boy.
Yeah, Lister's Possum Park.
It's such a great thing because I'm such a big fan of the Country Bear Jamboree.
Oh yeah.
I just always
want to
do the spray cheese thing.
The Leaning Tower of Cheese.
Cheddar. What happened to that poor man? He did biodynamic. It was over.
I know. Oh, I think one of my first crushes was Roxanne.
Wow, okay, this is good. He was just a diamond in the rough. Wanted to
Aladdin 2.
Got it. Good one.
Okay, Brian, you do the last one
because
I didn't write it down.
Sure.
Get it, Brian.
Bless my voice. Octopus gave me a choice. Wanna be up there.
Little Mermaid 2, Zero to Hero.
Yeah!
Zero to Hero was my favorite.
So we have some questions for you before we play the next game.
Cool, sounds great.
What's your favorite musical?
Ooh, that is tough. That is really, really tough for me. Because it literally, it fluctuates between four musicals.
Lay them on us.
And those four musicals are not in a numerical order, mm-hmm. but they are Sweeney Todd,
mm-hmm.
Dreamgirls, The Music Man,
mm-hmm.
and Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah.
Those are my four. I love them. I can listen to them all the time.
It's a solid four.
Don't get me wrong, I love all music. I love a lot of different musicals I listen to, but I mean, as far as like my favorites, I can listen to those all the time. And then that asterisk one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Wiz. You know, that asterisk one, you go mm-hmm. The Wiz. But Sweeney Todd grabbed me as a kid. Someone told me about it when I was 17. My show choir musical teacher told me about it, and I had never seen it, so I couldn't visualize what he was talking about.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't know what meat pies were. So he was explaining it to me on the way to some festival, and he's like, "He puts people in the pies," and I'm like, "Man, you cut off a brother and just put him in a bake him in the pie. That sounds terrible. How don't you see the person? You know." Didn't get it. And then I saw the video, the old thing of
with Angela Lansbury
yes,
and Lynn Carew.
Yes. Yeah. No, not Lynn Carew, George Hearn.
Yeah.
And I watched it and just was like, I love this. Every song is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Every song is perfect. And I also love it because it's one of those shows, it's one of those characters, like with Cole House, that they start doing horrible things and you find yourself rooting for them even though they're doing something horrible. Like your heart doesn't follow what they're doing. You follow them trying to get revenge. And then by the end, you go, oh, snap, this boy's killed people.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. I also love...
Cole House is interesting, but yeah, that's...
Same thing.
I don't think of Cole House that way.
You follow Cole House and you go, you're blowing people up. You're blowing up these places.
But you want him to win.
But you want him to win so bad, you know. And then Dreamgirls is just a thing. I
want to see it in London so bad.
And again, there's moments where I love that 6 degrees of separation of being in the Broadway community. Mm-hmm. Casey Nicola directed Aladdin. He directed that. And then my girl Marisha, who had her Broadway debut with Aladdin. Casey took her from Aladdin and took her to Something's Rotten. If you saw Something's Rotten, she played the part she calls herself Eggy White. So at the end, when eggs
totally,
start singing, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Marisha went to London because Amber got sick. And Marisha's now playing the role while Amber
incredible.
Is getting better.
Oh.
And Marisha Wallace is a powerhouse singer, and I'm glad she's finally getting her due. But when I saw Dreamgirls, my... Mahershala Alahasraj Ali, who has been... His dad was in the original cast of Dreamgirls. So his dad was on Broadway, and my dad was in films, and Mahershala and I grew up together. So you see the juxtaposition of now he is
That's
Golden
great.
Globe
so
nominee, and I
go
am
see
Moonlight,
and go see Hidden Figures, because he is spectacular, and both of them playing...
Yes.
Entirely different roles.
And then if you want to see him just be a badass,
Luke
go
Cage.
Watch Luke Cage
yeah,
and
Luke
watch
Cage.
Him be the villain.
Yeah.
And
oh.
So you have that. So he and I would talk and laugh
so
about
good.
The fact that his dad was, my dad was in films and his dad was on Broadway. And
mm-hmm.
I remember going to San Diego to see his dad play James Thunder Early. And that was the only part I wanted to play in life until I got Bobby with Memphis.
Yeah, yeah.
James Thunder Early was everything. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I've seen any kind of version of Dreamgirls in the world, and I love it. And then The Music Man is just... It's just a wonderful classic.
Everybody
music.
Has a music man.
It's
crazy.
It's one
really
of the
well
best
written.
Well-written musicals in the world. And also, it's one of the best musicals besides a guy like Rex Harrison where your lead does not sing.
Yeah.
I mean, you literally have Harold Hill, and he's not a singer.
At all.
And he
no.
kills it every single time. I mean... Just, it's just, I love that show.
And then, faking it till he makes it. That's
seriously,
the name
basically.
Of the game.
and also, a Little Shop of Horrors, Little Shop of Horrors is just perfect to me, too.
I love it.
It's also, I like small shows where you have an ensemble cast.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need if you if most Little Shop of Horrors are done with just the most expensive or massive thing in the show is Audrey 2.
Yep.
Yeah.
Everything else is just the set and the people, and they tell the story. And most people don't realize that when they see the film or when they think of these big orchestrations, there's a small band back there.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's like keyboard, guitar, drums, bass, and maybe you have another keyboard, and that's it. And if you're nice, you go, oh, I want to add a sax just because I want something.
Yeah.
But it's a small show, and that if you have the right singers and the right people, that you could kill that show. Those are my four favorite shows.
Everything for me right now.
So I think before we play our last game, I want to hear a little bit about, the Genie.
Yeah.
You've been with the Genie for a long time.
Yes.
I guess I have multiple questions. I'll let you answer them. However, sure. First of all, how do you even begin to prepare for a role like that and making your own when it's so distinctly in our beings as being a one other individual? How do you personally keep it fresh every single night? You know, it allows you to do that, but how do you kind of do it in yourself? And how is the audience of you've been for with it for the whole time?
Yes.
How has the audience evolved over time? And you know, having been in one show for such a long
that's
run.
That's a great question. To answer your first question, how do you approach a role that is made iconic by not just an actor, but about one of the most iconic American comedians in the world today? Like when you have your Mount Rushmore of comedians, he'll probably be on it.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, he's probably going to be there.
He's actually all four of them.
He's actually all four of them. He's actually acting like all the other four comedians. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Robin is one of my heroes and always has been since the first time I saw Mork and Mindy, since the first time I saw the really wonderful, but people hate it, but I love the movie Popeye. One of my favorite films in the world. I've loved him ever since, and because I'm a big Disney fan and also a big comedian fan, that's why I went to go see Aladdin the first time. I went to see it because I love Disney and I love stand-up comedians. And I was like, you've just put two things that I love together. I have to see this film.
Yeah.
And the one thing that saved me with this character was something Jonathan Freeman told me. Jonathan Freeman is the original Jafar, and he plays Jafar in our show.
Yeah.
He told me, he said, well, you know, most of the genies in you know, are black. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, the film that Disney based Aladdin on is called The Thief of Baghdad. And the genie in the film was played by a black guy named, it's not Rex Harrison, it's Rex, I can't think of his last name, sorry, Google it, The Thief of Baghdad, you can't miss it, the guy's name is Rex, he was also a character in Cabin in the Sky, but most of the genies are blacks because the genies are slaves, so most of the genies around that time are seen as African or something like that, and then Howard Ashman's original idea for the genie was Cab Calloway. Alan Menken played me the original demos of it, and it was Alan singing like Cab for Friend Like Me. So it was supposed to be Cab type of Fats Waller type of Cotton Club type of guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you go back and watch the movie, all of Genie's music is big band. So everything else, everything else is Alan Menken's music, and then you get the Genie's two songs, and it's big band. It's all this big band style. When I was told that, that's what made me go, okay, I can go a different direction here.
Yeah.
I don't have to. And also, my love of Robin, I know, like in hip-hop, you can't bite off another rapper. You can't steal another guy's comedic style. You have to do your own. So I went back and started watching Cab videos and Fats Waller videos. And then my own style of comedy, because I used to do a little stand-up when I was younger, and I love being silly. And I was like, what? All the things I do in the grocery store to bug my wife that she thinks are funny, that other people think are funny, I'm going to bring that to the show and see what happens. And you just have to go with it, and you hope that the audience digs it. And thank God they did. God they really got into it and saw it. Because also you want to give the audience something different. They can pay $29.99 for a Blu-ray disc of Aladdin.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want them to pay $100-some-odd to come see the show when they can see this. You know, you don't want them to see the same thing.
Yeah, right.
You want them to see something that you can go, oh, it is Aladdin, but I'm seeing something different.
How do you keep it fresh every night?
How do you keep it fresh every night? Two things. Most importantly, and this is going to sound crazy, you'll understand in a minute, ego. Absolute ego. I never want anyone to come and think that the show is stale or anyone thinks that the genie is just phoning it in. You cannot phone this character in. You shouldn't phone any character in. Right. But you can't phone this character in.
Right.
Because there is an expectation that when the genie comes out, energy is going to hit.
Oh,
you watch the film, the first line is,
Years will give
it. It's such a crick in the neck. It just starts.
I know it by heart.
Same here. Yeah. So with me, it comes out, woo! How's that for a smoking entrance? It's got to be on.
Yeah.
And he's got, so it doesn't matter whether I'm sick or whether I'm tired or whether I'm hurt. If I can move and I can sing a note, I'm out there and it's got to be on. So it's got to be fresh. My own ego says I got to be there. Also, the audiences are new every night. Mm-hmm. And also, I know what I would want if I paid a certain amount of money to come and see the show. My wife always asks me, she says, if you weren't the genie and you came to see the show, would you want to play that role? Would you be envious of the guy playing that role with the way you've created it? And I said, yes. So that's what I keep in mind. I keep in mind that if I came to New York and I'm coming to the New Amsterdam Theater and I want to see Aladdin because it's one of my favorite movies, I want the genie to do what I'm doing on stage. Mm-hmm. And so I want to give the audience, you know, I want them to be able to, even if they don't like the show, I don't ever want them to say, Sammy Davis Jr. said that. He goes, even if you don't like my show, I don't ever want you to look at me and say, I didn't perform for you.
Yeah.
So I want to keep it, you know, how do we keep it fresh? Because I know the audience is out there. But also, Genie is different because Genie has one little caveat that other characters don't have. I have a couple places where I can bring things in from today. So the show you saw in 2014 isn't the show you'll see now in 2017 because pop has changed.
Yeah.
So where one time I did, I was saying, I did... I was like, I'm free. Shake it off. Now I do something different, you know, and I won't say I want you to see what it is. But, you know, there could be dabbing in the show. I don't know. there could be different places in the show. I don't know. But that's how I keep it fresh.
That's
and,
awesome.
And then the evolution of the
audience.
Evolution
of the audience. What's funny is when we first started, we used to get standing ovations at Front Like Me every night. And I think that's because, from the time we had our first preview in New York to about 6 months after the Tony Award, we got standing ovations after Friend Like Me every night. And that was industry people. Because industry people who came and saw the show completely appreciated what was happening. They get it. They were like, oh my God, these people, not this guy, these people. And I say that because my cast is amazing. Without my cast, I'm just a brother in a big blue suit jumping around pointing at things. They're the ones that make the magic and make it look great.
Yeah.
And my...
That's a great soundbite.
The ensemble is fantastic. And my partner in crime, Adam Jacobs, is a beast on stage. That's how it goes. You know what I mean? So that audience stood up. Now, here we are now. What's happening is we have a lot of visitors. A lot of tourists, a lot of out-of-town tourists, a lot of out-of-country tourists. Mm-hmm. Then you have the wonderful people who go to theater in their own little town, and you don't stand. You just sit there and enjoy. But then you go crazy at the end.
Yeah.
You have a lot of Japanese people who come to the show, and you don't say anything until the end.
Yeah.
So we're like, wow, they hate us. They don't think we're funny. And then at the end, they're screaming and literally crying. So they've changed over time because of the group of people that have come to see the show. We went from all industry people going, what is the show, to now to all the Disney fans, to now all the tourists who are like, hey, I know that show. I want to see Aladdin. One of my favorite ones that actually happened this week, I met a couple, and she was like, you were great, James. He didn't want to come, but he had a great time because I saw him. He was sitting in the third row on house right, and I could see him. And I pointed every joke I had, most of my jokes, to him. Like, I would always find a way to, like, throw something to him, and he would smile. But I saw and I joked with him, and I said, I know what kind of man you are. He said, what do you mean? I said, I bet your girl brought you to New York City. You've been here before. You were really hoping to kick it in some sports bar and watch the game. And your girl brought you to a Broadway show. And not just a Broadway show. She brought you to Disney's Aladdin. I bet you was mad from the moment you heard. And he just started cracking up laughing. I was like, and you thought for sure you were going to be bored. There was going to be a bunch of kids here. And you were not going to enjoy yourself. And then the girls came out. You were like, well, they look good. I said, then I started acting stupid. And you were like, oh my God, he's pretty funny. And then the magic carpet came out and you still can't figure out how that happened. And he literally was like, he was bursting with laughter because it's true. We have so many ladies that just bring their wonderfully sports-loving, MMA-loving, straight husbands to our show without their children. Yeah. And these men think they're going to have a horrible time. And they have a wonderful, wonderful time.
Yeah, that's amazing.
We have the too cool for school teenagers who are like, man, you know, I just wanted to see Hamilton, but they brought me to Aladdin. And then they, all of us are going, oh my God, it's so beautiful. You know, our show hits on a couple different points that people don't think about. Wow. And I think that's what's happened. The show has evolved to this new audience of people who think they know what they're going to see, but they don't. So and cool. They still have a great time.
Let's play a game.
Cool.
Cool. Quickly. I made up a game called A Friend Like Me.
I don't get it.
Yeah. If you're improvisers.
Yeah.
It's basically good advice, bad advice.
Aha.
You know that improv game?
I think so, yes.
Great.
So basically, you're each going to pick a show card from the question box.
Okay.
And you are going to, in that character, give advice to someone who tweeted us a question.
Great.
Perfect.
I will.
Sounds great.
But one of you will be giving good advice, one will give mediocre advice, and one will give bad advice.
Sounds like a plan.
Great.
Got it.
So let's go with Kevin. You can give bad advice.
Okay. I knew that was coming.
As
Jerry Orbach.
Yes. James, you want to give middle of the road or good advice?
I'll give middle of the road.
Okay.
Celia, I love you. Celia Keenan Bolger, I love you, honey, if you hear this.
Okay, and Brian gives good advice as?
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is so random. So random. Brian literally picked my card.
That was so random.
I watched it happen. He literally picked my card.
I wasn't even looking.
Oh,
literally, I watched him. He was not looking. He picked my face. That is. Has that ever happened?
No. No one's pulled their own card.
No one's ever pulled.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Great.
Okay.
So I'm giving good advice.
I'm not doing it. Yes. Yeah.
You're doing mediocre advice to Celia Keenan-Bolger.
Yes.
And I'm doing bad advice to
Jerry Orbach.
Amazing. Okay, so the one person who tweeted me a question, we'll just do hers.
Great.
Sounds good.
Okay, this is from Liz Alps. Hi, Liz.
Hi, Liz.
Hi, Liz.
She says, I'm allergic to alcohol. How can I ever aspire to do a homemade version of Broad Wasted with this ailment?
Good advice. Let me tell you all good advice. Here we go. The only thing I know what you need to do, you gotta go see Aladdin at the New Amsterdam Theater. Doesn't matter if you're drunk, doesn't matter if you're sober, you can enjoy the hell out of it. There's a great number called Friend Like Me. I'm in it. I'm sparkly. You gotta go see it.
That's really sad because I talk that fast.
Here's some mediocre advice for Liz.
Celia Keenan-Bolger.
Okay. See, the problem is, I really feel that maybe if you have a problem with, like, drinking, then, faux beer, root beer, maybe, you know what? I got it. Weed.
And Jerry, can you give us some bad advice?
Just take the drink, shoot yourself with an EpiPen or something, you'll be fine.
So before we leave, one last question. When they called your name,
yes,
what was the first thing that went through your head? At the Tonys, not like not like at the deli gala.
At the deli, I was like, "Fuck, this sandwich is taking forever." No, so many things, but I think the first thing that went through my head was it was like this weird sentence of, "Oh my god, oh shit, oh my god, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit," basically.
Yeah,
and then it became. Did that really happen? As I'm talking, did that really happen? As I'm leaving the stage, did that really happen? I'm looking at my wife, did that really happen? I look down as I'm backstage at Radio City Music Hall, I'm looking down at this thing in my hand, and I'm going, did that really happen? And then, like you saw on the Tonys, I literally just started praising God. I lost my mind completely. Yeah. I couldn't help myself because I had always wanted one. Always wanted one. Always. Since the first time I saw the Tonys, I was like, that would be the coolest thing in the world to get a Tony. Never in a million years did I think I would get it for Aladdin. I know that sounds conceited. I thought maybe it's one of those things where I'll do a bunch of shows for years and I'll finally find this one role and then they'll be like, hey, let's get that old man a Tony, you know. Especially since Disney, I'm only the second person of the 25 years of Disney theatrical group to win a Tony. It is me and Heather Headley actors. We're the only ones they've ever won.
Wow.
Others have been nominated, but they've never won. So when the Tony thing happened, I looked at my wife, I looked at Casey, I looked at Thomas Schumacher, and I looked at Chad Beglin, who the writer was out there, and I just kind of went, what happened?
Oh, yeah.
What just happened? And I got back to the party, and I saw my cast, and I was like, guys, what? It literally, and immediately, people started coming up to you, and they say, thank you. And you start realizing who these people are. You're like, oh my God, there's Hugh Jackman. Yeah. And there's Zachary Levi. Mm-hmm. And there's, oh my God, is that Bette Midler? Holy crap, what's going on? You know what I mean? You're just flipping out. But not Bette Midler, sorry, Bernadette Peters. You're like, you're just flipping out. Like, oh my God, these are all the people I've looked up to. You know, nothing like two of the guys that I've looked up to my entire life. My entire life. Chuck Cooper and Brian Stokes Mitchell. Walking over to me at different times. Like, Brian walks over to me and he's like, James! Oh, man, good to see you. Really want to see you. I was like, do you know who you are? You know, Chuck Cooper was like, hey, what's up, young blood? I'm like, you're Chuck Cooper!
Yeah, that's insane.
Oh, my God! It trips me out. So, that night, what was I thinking? It was pretty much oh, my God, what just happened?
Yeah.
And then it was nothing but a, praise God, I can't believe this happened. And to this day, I am so grateful and so thankful and so humbled by the fact that the American Theater Wing and everybody that's a part of it would even think about voting for me to have one. And it sits on my mantle. I look up, and whenever I get, you know, because we as actors, we always find we don't find the silver lining. We find the dark cloud of everything. Yeah, I've got this, but what about this?
Yeah.
You know, whenever that happens,
you
find a reason to be unhappy. And whenever that happens, I look up and I go, no, can't
good.
Just spin it.
Yeah, I'm like, can't be mad.
Cool. So on that note, let's bring us to the end of our episode. But yeah, so as we end every episode with a quote, and today's quote is, a man's got to do what a man's got to do.
A man's got to do what he's up to.
Bright star. That's right. On that note, we end every episode also with a
Zoot-doo-wop-bop.
Thanks, everybody. Don't forget, we're going to be at Comic-Con. No, we're not. No, we're not.
I'll be at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
You will be at Comic-Con.
I will be at Comic-Con, but in October. But we are going to be in at BroadwayCon. Come visit us at the booth. We're going to have super cool stuff. We'll all be there. We're going to do live recordings. So come on down and join us.
Woo.
Bye.
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 I forgot about prizes. I have cookies and a brownie.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.